If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 3, and then verse 18 to verse 19, and then verse 24 to 26. Let us read Acts 18, 1 to verse 1 to verse 3 first. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And then we'll read from verse 18 to verse 19. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. And last verses, last three verses, verse 24 to 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Father, today, I just pray that, Lord, you will just speak to our hearts. Help us to realize that, God, we are your people. We are your people. God, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. It takes more than great programs to build a great church. It takes more than sacrificial service to build a great church. I believe that many of us sacrifice our time, sacrifice financially to build a church. But it takes more than money, more than a super staff, more than talented teachers, and more than dedicated deacons or leaders to build a great church. What makes a great church is great people. Let me repeat it. What makes a great church is great people, great families, and great homes. We can build a great church right here by building people, building families, and building great homes. And if we do that, then together we will be building a great church all to the glory of God. This morning, the title of my sharing is Great Church by Great Families. Great Church by Great Families. And what can we learn from this passage of scriptures that we just read? Number one, a great family is a saved family. Number two, a great family is a sanctified family. And lastly, a great family is a serving family. We just read from our scripture. We have a fine example of building a great church by building great families in our text or in our scripture in the form of a husband and wife. And the Bible tells us their names are Aquila and Priscilla. When we look at our text, we see a married couple, even though their children were not mentioned, but I believe they have children. But we can see here the names of the couple, Aquila and Priscilla, worshiping and serving God together. And I want to show you three things that make a family great and will lead to a great church. Number one, a great family is a saved family. Looking back, we find that Aquila and Priscilla had been living in Rome, Italy. The name Priscilla is actually a Roman name. And secular history tells us she was from a family of nobility living in Rome. While Aquila is a Jewish name. So what we have is a young Roman girl marrying a young Jewish boy, which was not acceptable in those days. So Priscilla had to make a choice because there was a tidal wave of hatred and prejudice against the Jews sweeping through Rome during the time. Because the Emperor Claudius had just issued an edict expelling all Jews from Rome. Priscilla had to choose between her homeland or her husband. Because she was a Roman citizen. She was from Rome. In verse 1 to verse 2, actually when we read, it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla and came unto them." Most of us know, or many of us know, how hard it is to have to pick up and move. Especially when it is moving away from the place where you have lived all your life. When you are new to that place, do hindi nami, hindi kakasaho, mag-change sang residence. Alright? But this couple didn't choose to move. Aquila and Priscilla were being forced to leave Rome. The 21st century family is also under incredible pressure. Our families today are also under incredible pressures. Stress and tension are a huge part of the home today, with the pressure of work, pressures at time, pressure or we have the financial struggles or financial pressures, and we choose to live under. And when children enter the picture, the stress goes up. And that stress level rises more and more the older they get. So when you are single, you have stress as a single. When you are married, you also have stress as married person. And when you have children, your stress doubles. Because you don't only have to worry about yourself, you also worry about your children. And there is even a joke, I think many of you have heard it, when before you get married, you have this ring, the engagement ring. And during your wedding, you have the wedding ring. And what happens after wedding? Suffer ring. And when you cannot take the suffering, teary ring. There is pressure. Right and left pressure. So with all the stress and pressure happening, we need revival poured in the home. We need something new happening in our home. We need something good happening in our home. We need a spiritual awakening in our families that starts with mothers and fathers getting serious about serving God. If we want our homes to be filled with joy or reverence for God, if we want our homes to be filled with peace from God, then moms and dads, it's our responsibility to welcome the presence of God in our homes. We need families with a healthy fear of the enemy or Satan's rampage and a heartfelt desire for drawing close to God and to one another. It should be a desire from the family. I don't know if you can really raise a family today without God and without the help of a good church or a family. I don't know how you're going to do it. But here in the Philippines, we are a religious country. We believe God. We always believe that God should be involved in the family. And that the church should, we should have a church that we can stay. We have a church that can we can go when we are troubled spiritually. And sometimes the church is not just for us to go to when we are spiritually troubled. Sometimes when we are financially troubled, we also come to church. Which I am not saying that it is bad, but din pa kamo abi magkadto kag magpangayo sa bulig. Of course, to those who know you, to those who you know, Aquila and Priscilla were a family under pressure. But they were also a family under providence, because God was working out their problems behind the scenes, not only for their good, but for His glory. God is in the process of bringing something new in their lives. Whose lives? In the lives of Priscilla and Aquila. You see, at the same time, they were being kicked out of Rome, traveling toward East or toward Corinth. The Apostle Paul was leaving Athens from the East, traveling to the West to the same place. It means God was setting things up for both Aquila and Priscilla to meet face to face, to meet Paul face to face. And when they did, it was a life-changing experience for Aquila and Priscilla. You see how God works. According to verse 3, Paul was a tent maker, which was the same occupation of Aquila and Priscilla. How God made them meet each other. How God purposely let them meet in one place. What did they talk about? I believe that they didn't talk about the NBA when they met. I believe they didn't talk about politics. Talking about politics today is very, very troublesome. Very, you know, tama ka palaligban. But if the church could get as excited about winning the lost as we do, winning a game, siguro the church would be unstoppable. If we were just on fire about winning as we do in a competition, great things can happen. I still cannot forget the competition that we had during our HOF in Quezon. The tension was so great that even on Sunday night, we start practicing already. You see, every Friday we had a HOF, and then during the HOF, we had competitions. We had dancing, either dancing or singing or drama or skit. Okay, all types of competition. So we had 4 zones. And before a zone could enter the church for practice, there must be a login. You have to put there the time that you want to enter. And sometimes because of logging in, there were tension and there were even conflict. A zone against another zone. We have time, like 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11. But I also observed that some zones, when they practiced, they couldn't finish on time. So they exceeded for about maybe 15 minutes, and you will see another zone banging the gate, banging the door. Come out, it's our turn. Why that happens? Because of competition. And we competed just to get 100 points. And to win 300 pesos. Tough competition. You practice for 1 week. You spend for your costumes for how many hundreds, and you win 300 pesos. I mean, if we are as on fire as that, if we do that for the church, not competing one to another, but you know, desire mo to do something for God, to do something for the church, I think we can do great things. Which many of us, we have lost that. Somewhere in their conversation, these two were gloriously saved. I don't know exactly what they were talking about, Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul. But I believe that the enthusiasm of Paul was there. The heart of Paul was there. There is a brother. He just came from the Middle East, and he joined our medical mission. But you know what did he do? He's still on fire. He went to almost every patient and shared the gospel to them. And through that sharing, he was even able to bring two young ones the next Sunday to church. I believe if we have that kind of heart, something great can happen to the church. When we get right with God and follow His will, He will set our paths to cross with others who need Him. He will do it at just the right time and in just the right place. Aquila and Priscilla began the journey toward becoming a great family by first becoming a saved family. Today, brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that we are saved, that our family is saved. Great things can happen to a saved family. The second thing that makes a great family is, number two, a sanctified family, a sanctified life. A great family is a sanctified family. The word sanctified means set apart, separated from the world. A sanctified family looks, sounds, and acts different from the world. You know, sometimes people expect the pastors and his wife to be sanctified, but not so much about themselves. Only the leaders should be sanctified. But no, each member of the body of Christ, each believer should have a sanctified life. Each of us are to walk worthy of our calling. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This should be happening to us. When we are called by God, we should walk worthy of that calling and walk pleasing Him and becoming fruitful in our every good work and increasing in our knowledge of God. Did you know that it was in the third century before the church, simplified word, is that the early church didn't have buildings. Okay? The early church didn't have buildings. Because the church actually is a body of believers. And for more than 200 years, the church met in the homes of people like Aquila and Priscilla. They didn't have buildings like this. They met in homes. That's why when I studied in the CPBC, one of my subjects is home church. Home church. Because the early church started in homes. In homes of people like Aquila and Priscilla. The church didn't have any of the things that we do, that we have today. Or they didn't even have the things that we today feel we must have in order to have a church. Yesterday, Brother Marco and Brother Franco approached me. They had a very good plan. They want to improve our music department, and they want to volunteer buying or asking the music department lang to buy the in-ear monitor because that will help them. That is a noble desire. That is a very good desire. Imagine, it will really help our sound system. It will also help the musicians. A very good plan. And in our elder board meeting, we also have a plan to make the church a bit cooler. We plan to put a big fan in the middle. It's a plan. There's no budget yet. It's just a plan. Okay? Because the budget is always a problem. It's a plan. And also my desire, you know what? What's my desire? To make a very big LED screen behind it. It's a wow. It's a wow. They are very good desires. They are very good plan. Imagine if we can have all those. I think it will make our worship even easier, more comfortable. But the early church didn't have those. They didn't have buildings or padded seats. They had no PA systems. They had no projectors. They didn't have screens. There was no HVAC or heater, ventilator, and air conditioning. They didn't have advertising. They didn't have websites. Yet, they did so much with so little. And the 21st century church seems to do so little with so much. We have so much today, but we do so little. The early church, they didn't have much, but they did so much. This couple, Aquila and Priscilla, had a great home. And it led to a great church. So let me ask you something. How about the church that is called your home? What I mean is, how is your home? Do you sanctify your home and welcome God in your home? Our highest calling as believers is our own children. Our highest calling as believers is our own family, our own marriage, and our own home. A great family is a sanctified family. We must sanctify our family for the glory of God. We should not allow any sin to enter that family, because sin will always create trouble in the family. Somebody says, "I want peace," but if there is sin, there is no peace. An unsanctified life does not have peace. And my third point, a great family is a serving family. So, a great family, number one, is a saved family. Let us make sure that our family is really saved. Secondly, a great family is a sanctified family. Let us make sure that our family is really different from others. And thirdly, a great family is a serving family. Everything else we read about this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, from then on, is about them serving God together. They served God together. Years later, Paul writes to the church at Rome, he said in Romans 16:3-4, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." What was happening to this couple is the same thing that ought to happen to each and every one of us after we get saved, regardless of our occupation. You know, one of the sad things that is happening to many around, not only in this church but other churches, that while we were students, we were really serving God. But when we begin to have our career, our service to God becomes lesser and lesser. Remember this. Every believer's main business ought to be God's business. We should be about worshiping and serving Him, teaching and helping others, winning souls, and seeing people get saved. You know, I know several Christian men and women who own and run their own business, But then they still consider God's business as their own business. Today, we may run a cafe, or we may run a restaurant, or we may run a company or an agency. But let us remember, our main business is God's business. I still cannot forget this man when we attended a conference in CCF in 2023. This guy is, I think, the president or vice president of Toyota Company. Vice president of Toyota Company. You know what he said? He said, Toyota pays me, but Jesus is my boss. Toyota pays me, but I serve Jesus. It means that he recognized that Jesus or God's business is his business. I want to tell you this story. In 1858, a man named Edward Kimball was a businessman in Boston. He was also a Sunday school teacher of older teen boys. And there was a young man named Dwight in his class. One Saturday, he decided to visit each boy in the class to see if they were saved. And when he visited Dwight at the store where he was working, Dwight got saved. By 1879, 21 years later, Dwight was an evangelist preaching in crusades all over. It started with Ed Kimball. And there was a man at one of his crusades, one of Dwight's crusades, named Frederick, who was pastoring a small church that was not doing so too much. But after hearing Dwight, the evangelist, the Holy Spirit lit a fire under him, and he became a world-renowned preacher. Who is that? Frederick. His travels brought him to America, and preaching on a college campus, a student walked the aisle and got saved one day. This one is the ministry now of Frederick. This young man's name was Wilbur. And after Wilbur got saved, he went into the ministry. He hired a guy named Billy to help him. Billy preached a crusade in Charlotte that was so successful that the local businessmen's association decided to have another big crusade with Billy. So from Edward to Dwight to Frederick to Billy to Wilbur to Billy. But Billy couldn't do it. So they hired a preacher named Ham. At the crusade, a young man came forward and got saved. He was another Billy. His last name was Graham. Billy Graham. Millions have been saved under his ministry, and millions more through men like Mordecai Ham and the other Billy, who was Billy Sunday. Men like J. Wilbur Chapman, Frederick Mayer, and Dwight L. Moody were all making God's business the main business of their life. Way back in 1858, God began a work that would eventually reach a young man named Billy Graham, just so he could reach millions through Billy Graham. All this happened because one businessman named Ed Kimball decided that his main business was God's business. A heritage was passed down from each of these to their families. And to all they reach, and just think how those saved at Billy Graham's rallies are now witnessing and preaching and reaching many others. I have this desire in my heart that if one day I become older and cannot be a pastor, as early as possible, I want to train someone who can handle the church, who will take over the leadership of the church. I don't know who that person would be, but something must be passed on to the next generation. Leadership should be passed on to the next generation. God's business must be passed on to the next generation. Aquila and Priscilla understood that even though they were tent makers by trade, their main business was serving God. And my prayer for everyone here is that you have a saved family, a sanctified family, and a serving family. A family set apart for the Master's use. In conclusion, great families build great churches. And there must be a church in your home. I am not talking about physical church in your home, but your home must be a place where God's presence dwells. A church in the sense that your home becomes a great, great homes by being saved, by serving another, and by serving others, and by being sanctified. You know, decades ago, ETAB had cell groups at home. Now, many of our cell groups are held in the church. But in the late 80s, even until the 90s, ETAB had cell groups at many homes. One of the places Evangel had cell group was Balwarte. One of the earliest cell group. Balwarte cell group was not the best cell group, was not the best barangay, but was one of the first cell groups of Evangel. But when the gospel reached Balwarte, the place in Balwarte, through the cell group, many church leaders today come from that cell group. I came from that cell group. Maricel was from that cell group. Cecilia is from that cell group. When we are serious about the church, we should also think seriously about our homes. I remember when Pastor Tony Pasulili first came to our place, our house in Balwarte, to have a cell group. I was just watching TV sa neighbor namon. And then somebody called me, "Tawag ka ni tito mo. May bisita ka mo to. Australian." Australian. Because my uncle really cared for me, they didn't start the cell group without me. I was just around 14 years old at the time, 13, 14 years old at the time. So when I arrived, I saw Pastor Tony, he was smiling at the people, and then we started the cell group. And the cell group grew. Though there were problems in that cell group, but the cell group grew. And as I said, many of the leaders today came from that cell group. God means business, and we should mean business with God. When you read the Gospels, you will notice that many times Jesus visited homes. He visited the homes of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Yeah, he visited their home. He also visited the home of Zacchaeus. He also visited the home of Simon. God is interested in your homes. God is interested in your families. If your family is not safe, God wants to save your family. If your family is not sanctified, God wants to sanctify your family. If your family is not serving God, God wants your family to serve Him together. May your families be saved. May your families be sanctified. May your families serve God. Reach out to your own families. You will be surprised that great men and women will rise from that family of yours. Shall we all bow our heads and pray?